Thank you. Well, good evening. In South Africa today, it's called the Day of Reconciliation. I don't know why that is. So I thought we'd look at reconciliation today. I don't think it is normally a message to be preached, but I thought we'd look at it today. Reconciliation and the ministry of reconciliation. So let's open up the scriptures. First of all, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I'm going to read verses 15 to the end of 23. 2 Corinthians 5, 18 to 23. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you in Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Now, would you go on to the just one verse in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, the same theme. 1 Peter 3:18. For Christ also suffered once for us, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. That's reconciliation, isn't it? Being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit. To bring us to God, that's reconciliation. Now, God doesn't need to be reconciled to us. He hasn't done anything wrong. We need to be reconciled to him, as in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, in verse 18, he has given us the ministry of reconciliation for others. That's quite true. And therefore, we are ambassadors. We look at that a little bit later on. And verse 18 says, he has reconciled us to himself. He's the one who receives us. He's not reconciled to us, as I said. He's not sinned. We have. And the reconciliation comes encouraging for us to realize that we are in a right relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and to know God as our Heavenly Father. Now, as we know in the Christian gospel, reconciliation follows repentance, sorrow for sin and unbelief. And of course, the repentance and then reconciliation, salvation, if you like, will bring us to God and his salvation experience. For according to the Lord, looking from his viewpoint, every human being, because we're in a fallen state as sinners, we are hostile, or we were hostile. If you're a believer, think back to the time when you were unregenerate, before we were saved. Were you hostile to God or indifferent? Well, one or the other, yes. We could easily be indifferent to the Lord. I never thought about him before I was saved. Never occurred to me. Just, I'm dead, you know? So I needed to be reconciled to God, and praise the Lord, I have been. So the believer is then brought into a right relationship with God as our Heavenly Father and the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have that right relationship with the Lord Jesus especially. So that term reconciliation, let's think about that word reconciliation. As I say, it's not often preached today. I think it ought to be. Reconciliation means the bringing together man to God from our hostility. Maybe in many, maybe you weren't hostile. Maybe like me, you were indifferent, never thought about it. But it brings us into an honorable relationship and reconciliation. an honorable relationship and reconciliation to him. God hasn't done anything wrong. We are indifferent in unbelief before we were saved. And that verse 18 in 2 Corinthians 5, let's look at it. 2 Corinthians 5:18. Let's look at that verse. Now, all things are of God. Of course, he takes the initiative, as always. We didn't take initiative. He did. All things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself. We're the sinners. We need reconciliation to him. So we have been, if we're believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, through repentance, faith, and salvation, the result. And he has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Now, we can't save anyone, but we can witness, we can encourage people to repent of unbelief, because the worst sin of all is unbelief, and everything else comes from that. So to repent of unbelief and to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, then we're saved for eternal life. That is the reconciling love and certain promise from the Lord, desiring to reconcile man to himself, not imputing their trespasses, not putting sin to our account, but Jesus took them on himself at the cross. He became sin for us, as we find in the last verse 21, for he made him who knew no sin, Jesus was sinless, sinless Son of God, to become sin for us. So he took our sin in his body. He died and was sentenced and judged in our place. So believers may go free. So we want to encourage others to be reconciled to God like we have been. That's part of our witness, isn't it? Be reconciled to God. We have the ministry of reconciliation. So many people are either indifferent or maybe even hostile to God. We certainly meet people like that. And they're brought into an honorable, right relationship through that reconciliation experience. Reconciliation, getting right with the Lord. So in other words, in that 18th verse again, we are therefore encouraged, and it is committed to us, put to our responsibility, the ministry of reconciliation. As the Apostle Paul says, look in verse 20. We are ambassadors for Christ. We'll come to that in a while. As though God were pleading through us. The Lord is pleading through us in our work and our witness, our lifestyle, which hopefully would attract people to Christ, but our witness must be word of mouth too. Pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. He's done everything to bring that about. At the cross and the resurrection, of course. So we have the ministry of reconciliation committed to us as responsibility, a gracious responsibility, that others may be reconciled to God. We can't save them. We can point them to the Lord Jesus Christ, who can, and he will reconcile those to himself and God the Father as well. A right relationship, no hostility any further. Of course, we know it's God's grace, undeserved favor and mercy, his forgiveness. And then, wonderful, wonderful, he declares, God makes a declaration to the believer. He has given us the gift of Christ's righteousness to clothe us. And he's given us that responsibility. Look in verse 21. We have the righteousness of God, the Father, and the Son, because of him, in Christ, the Lord Jesus. So in other words, for the believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, having experienced that reconciliation to him and to the Father, it brings about a total change of outlook, purpose, and aim of life. Once we're saved, it's quite true, you know that yourself. And at the same time, it can bring us to a real sense of peace in life. Not much of that about today. Peace, rest, because we have that right reconciliation relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. So we have that peace of God, which passes all understanding, and is peace through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ at the cross. So very important. Salvation grace is forgiveness when people are sorry, when they want to be right with God, and we are declared righteous and given his gift of righteousness. So there's a total new outlook on life. Everything becomes new. We are new creatures in Christ. The old is passing away and the new life has come. New motives, new aims, new purposes, new thoughts, even new ambitions. Completely changed because we're believers going God's way, not our way anymore. Now, other scriptures I'd like you to look at, please. So leaving 2 Corinthians 5 alone, would you go on now to Paul's letter to the Christians at Ephesus, Ephesians chapter 2. A few verses. Ephesians chapter 2. Just wait for you to find those verses, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. And Nigel's come on the scene as well. Hello, Nigel. We're looking at reconciliation and having been given the ministry of reconciliation. And this ministry of reconciliation encourages others to come to the Lord Jesus Christ and trust him to be a savior, and we have eternal life. So in Ephesians chapter 2, let's look at verses 13 to 18. Ephesians 2, 13 to 18. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off, we were Gentiles, have been made near or brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace. He's reconciled us, you see. Who has made both one, that's Jew and Gentile, that's the theme, and has broken down the middle wall of division between us, between Jew and Gentile. Having abolished in his flesh the enmity between Jew and Gentile. That is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, is to create himself a one new man, Jew and Gentile in Christ, one new man, one new body, church, from the two, that making peace, and that he might reconcile, there you are, reconcile them as Jew and Gentile. Gentiles, when they're not saved, are sometimes hostile to Jewish people. Somehow that's in their nature. We know that in history. But through salvation, there can be reconciliation between us and Jewish people. And it's strange to say this, that very often a born-again Christian, having experienced salvation, begins to understand God has purposes for the nation of Israel in the future. And these prophetic scriptures about Israel do come to life to us as we grow in the Lord. So these things are important. And he says there that when Jewish believers and Gentile believers were made in one new body, the church, of course. And these things are important. The Lord has broken down any hostility between us. And so on. One new man from the two, verse 15, 16, that he might reconcile them both, there's the word again, to God in one body, church, through the cross, of course, thereby putting to death the enmity. So the Jewish people and Christian people can get together. We might have an opportunity to witness about the Redeemer, Savior, the Lord Jesus, Messiah of Israel. And the Lord puts to death any hostility between the Christian Gentile and the Jewish people. He came and preached peace to you who were far off, Gentiles, 17, and to those who were near, the Jewish people. They'd had the revelation of God in the Old Testament, so they were brought near. For through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. Isn't that wonderful? Jewish believer, Gentile believers in the church, one new man, reconciliation and fellowship together. That's so important. Would you go on to a letter after Philippians, Colossians chapter 1? Colossians chapter 1, please. Colossians chapter 1 and verses 20 to 22. Colossians chapter 1, 20 to 22. Let you find it. You contain verse 19 as an introduction, Colossians 1, 19. It pleased the Father that in him, in Christ, that is his Son, all the fullness of should dwell, that's deity. And by him, to reconcile, there's the word again, to reconcile all things to himself, by him, by Christ. Whether things on earth, down here, or things in heaven, those have already gone there. Having made peace through the blood of the cross, and you who were once alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled. You see, we need to be reconciled to a God whom we have resisted over the years. He doesn't need to be reconciled to us, as I said earlier. He hasn't done anything wrong. We're the sinners. We need to be reconciled to a holy God. And that's only through the blood of the Christ at the cross. So that's what he says. He now is reconciled, verse 22, in the body of his flesh through death, to present you, what is God's purpose? To present you holy and blameless and irreproachable. He can't speak anything against you anymore in his sight, if you indeed continue in the faith. And of course, we trust we do. So the result, therefore, through that reconciliation, is peace between the Lord and ourselves. Reconciliation. Now, in Ephesians, go back to Ephesians, would you? But this time, chapter 2 and verse 16. Chapter 2 of Ephesians, verse 16. There's a very special Greek word I'd like to mention to you. It's rather a long one. In Ephesians 2:16. And the Greek word which I want to focus on reconciliation, is the Greek word apokatalasso. Apokatalasso. And that word, as often with Greek language, it needs more words to explain what we put in English, one word. But in Greek, it's so an expressive language, it needs to use several words or a sentence or two to explain what the word actually means. So I'll do that. And the word is apokatalasso, Ephesians 2:16. It means to reconcile completely, which of course means that no believer can lose his salvation or her salvation. It means to change from one condition, unbelief, to another, salvation and faith and belief. So as to remove all the enmity mentioned in these verses, all the enmity is removed and leaves no impediment to any good unity and peace with God. Peace with the Lord through the blood of the cross. There's nothing to prevent it because of this term reconciliation. The death of Christ on the cross brings about that reconciliation upon man's repentance, of course. So in other words, as we read in 2 Corinthians, God no longer imputes any sin to the believer. It's all wiped away, cancelled out, at the death of Christ on the cross. He paid the price, we go free. Wonderful, isn't it? Therefore, we are cleansed, and as we read there, we are new creatures in Christ, as in verse 17 of chapter 2. He came and preached peace to you who were far off, Gentiles, and to those who were near, the Jewish people, reconciling both Jew and Gentile in Christ. Now, we read in 2 Corinthians, if you'd like to go back there for a moment, in 2 Corinthians, we read those verses from chapter 5, verses 18 to 23. Let's look back there again, shall we? Because in verse 20 of 2 Corinthians 5, in verse 20 of 2 Corinthians 5, we read this. Therefore, because of this ministry of reconciliation, which God has given us as a responsibility, we can't save anyone, of course. He is, but we must bring people to the Savior. And in verse 20, we are ambassadors. Now, there's a word I want to think about for a few minutes. We are ambassadors for Christ. As though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. There's the word. Pleading with people to realize the salvation, eternal life, life after death with Christ through repentance, through belief, through receiving Christ as Savior, realizing he died for our sins. He suffered the death sentence upon us, upon himself. So we are encouraged to plead with others, imploring others to be reconciled to the Lord. And we are ambassadors for Christ. Now, an ambassador, well, we all know what an ambassador is, don't we? An ambassador is a messenger and a representative in a foreign country. So we are messengers. We're representatives of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we certainly live in a foreign country, foreign world down here. It's not foreign in heaven, but it is down here. And we are encouraged to plead with people to be reconciled to God. That's a witness. That's the witness of the gospel. A man's repentance, man's sorrow for sin, brings about the Lord's forgiveness and reconciliation. And this is all due to the death of Christ to bring salvation to the one who will believe and give one's life over to Jesus Christ. So you and I have experienced this reconciliation with the Lord Jesus Christ and God the Father. And now we have the ministry encouraging others to be reconciled to God at the same time, which is witness to the salvation, isn't it? Now, just to finish off, would you go on to that last verse that we looked at, only one verse, in 1 Peter 3. 1 Peter 3 and verse 18. Just as we finish. And this is the witness we have as an ambassador for Christ, pleading with people to be reconciled to the Lord. 1 Peter 3:18 we read earlier. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust. Now, he is perfectly just. He's faultless. He's sinless. He's God, the Son. And he's completely just. We're the ones who are unjust. We're the ones who are sinners, separated from God by our sin and unbelief. We need salvation to be born again, spiritually alive. We're the unjust, but he's the just one. And he is just. And so much he wants to save us, wants to bring salvation to us, and he wants us to bring that ministry of reconciliation to others. Christ, the just one, suffered for the unjust, us down here. That's what it is, isn't it? That he might bring us to God, bring us to the Father, bring us to himself, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Holy Spirit. He was resurrected. So wonderful, isn't it? So we have experienced reconciliation, brought into a right relationship with the Lord through the Christ of the cross. And we are encouraged to have that same ministry of reconciliation, to encourage people to trust Christ as Savior, very much so, rather than face the awful great white throne and be condemned to the lake of fire forever. Oh my, we don't want people to be there, do we? So we urge them, we're pleading with them to be reconciled to God and avoid the awful experience after death. So we are reconciled to God. We have the ministry of reconciliation. And that reconciliation is bringing us into a right relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we may call God Father. So reconciliation. A wonderful, it's bringing two people together, two people who are hostile. Maybe we were hostile or indifferent to the Lord Jesus and to God as Father. And in a sense, because of our sin, he was hostile to us. He loves us, but he's hostile for the sin in us. He loves us, but it's a sin problem. And that is what he deals with. So there's that wonderful term, reconciliation. Brought into a right relationship with God the Father and the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, through salvation experience. We want to encourage others to come into that position of reconciliation, and we have that responsibility. So we're ambassadors. We are messengers here. We're representatives for Christ in a foreign nation, foreign land, foreign world. And we plead people to be reconciled to God. It's the only hope they've got. And through man's repentance and the Lord's forgiveness, reconciliation takes place, salvation takes place, and it's all because of Christ's death on the cross and, praise the Lord, his glorious resurrection again. So reconciliation is an important word in Scripture, isn't it? Reconciliation. We're called to plead with others to be reconciled to God. Just a thought on that one today. Amen.